under polar molecules, you see a little cloud that looks a little like Mickey Mouse. And it doesn't say it, but the head of Mickey Mouse, where it has a little 8 P's and 8 N's, that's an oxygen. And the ears of Mickey Mouse, that's a hy those are the two hydrogens in water, the H2O. So those two little Mickey Mouse ears are kind of positive, and that oxygen that's the Mickey Mouse head is kind of negative. So this molecule is what we call polar. One side is a little positive and one side is a little negative, okay? So polar molecules are going to be important, and we're going to talk about those a little more later. But the first place that they came up in the video, when he was talking about the cell membrane, and he was talking about how part of them were hydrophilic and part were hydrophobic.
User in your channel timed out.
Let me give you a little English background, or you that you already know. Like phil, the root word for phil, or the actually it's a prefix, it means to love. So like when somebody's like a bibliophile, they're somebody that loves books. So hydrophilic means it loves water.
User
It's
in
a
your channel is recording.
it's attracted to water. So polar molecules, things that have a plus and minus charge, are attracted to water. The next functional group that they mention are called nonpolar molecules, and these are things that are not attracted to water. They don't have a charge on them. They're not attracted to water. They won't even dissolve in water. So like when you're washing dishes and you got that grease stuck to the plate and you can't get it off, the water doesn't wash it off because it's not attracted to the water. So that's why you use soap, because soap is also hydrophobic, will attract to the dirt and they'll stick together, and then you can get it to come off of the plate. So you have to, if you want something to attract to water, it's got to have some kind of charge.
Wait, wait, wait,
User in your channel
okay.
timed out.
So the soap has properties in it that are both hydrophilic and hydroscared.
I like the hydroscaric. It's hydrophobic, but that's perfect.
Okay.
No, but it's not, it's hydrophobic, it's nonpolar. It's just like the grease on the plate. So you know they'll stick to each other, and soap is slippery. So they'll stick to each other, and since soap is slippery, it'll slide off the plate. It's not sliding off because it dissolves in the water. It slides off because you know you get soap on your fingers and you rub it and it's slippery. So because the dirt attracts to something slippery, then it'll slide off the plate.
Okay.
And feel free, like right now I'm talking about some background information so that you guys have context. If I say something that you're interested in or you have no idea what I mean, feel free to jump in like Ishabola just did and ask me questions. Like I'm totally good with questions. So another functional group, well, let me not say another functional group, but when you have hydrocarbons or things that are made of just hydrogen and carbon, those things are hydrophobic. They don't like water. So just the carbon hydrogen doesn't like water. Sometimes it'll add a group to it that does have a charge, and then that whole molecule will start to attract to water. So this, if you look at C underneath functional groups, where it says hydrocarbon is hydrophobic, except when it's attached to ionized functional groups like a carboxyl acid. So when you add this little piece that's sitting here, the COOH, to the end of something, that will make it attract to water. So we're in the, I believe it's number three functional groups. Yeah, functional group is three, and then we're down at part C. Yeah, give me a moment. Okay, I had it set to push to talk, and then every time I needed to move the screen down, I had to let go. It was messing up my flow. All right, so
User in your
now.
channel timed out.
All right, I see you, Kashif. No worries. Let me scroll back up because after doing that, I lost my place. Okay, so we talked about the fact that
User
hydrocarbons.
in your channel is recording.
tend to be hydrophobic, like they don't like water unless you stick something on there that has a charge. All right, so the last piece, cells are mostly water. So that means that how much organic molecules can interact with water affects their function, which is why I mentioned that hydrocarbons are hydrophobic unless you stick something to them. And I know that's a lot of hydro and carbon and phobic, but don't stress it. We're gonna use these terms again, and we're gonna use them in different contexts. And when I need you to have something memorized, I'll tell you, okay? So don't stress if you feel like you're getting a lot of information, because the information that I need you to have before class is over, you'll know exactly what it is that you need to know and take away. Right now, you're just kind of listening. I see you, Essence. I noticed that it was bouncing in and out. All right, so cells are mostly water. So the fact that it's mostly water means that if a molecule is attracted to water or doesn't like water, is very, very important. And that's just what I was saying just then. All right, so we're not going to get into isomers right now. So just know that you can have molecules that have the same formula, like the same number of elements, that are just arranged in different ways, okay? But we're not going to get into that in depth until we get into the heavy chemistry. All right, so big organic molecules have what we call monomers, and he talked about that. So the prefix mono, that means one. So basically, a monomer is one piece. So the organic molecules that we're talking about, the carbohydrates, the lipids, the proteins, they have a monomer, or the one piece that all the other ones are built or made out of. So with carbohydrates, the monomer for carbohydrates is monosaccharides, so little sugars. You link a bunch of them together, make big long molecules, and that's what carbohydrates are made out of. They're made out of groups of monosaccharides or groups of little sugars. So when you have a bunch of monomers together, we call it a polymer. So poly means many, just like polygon, many sides in a shape, polygamous, more than one wife. Polymer means more than one unit. So mer is the unit. Monomer is one unit. Polymer is a lot of units. So when you put a bunch of the monomers together, we call those polymers. So we talked about the four classes of macromolecules that are important to life. So carbohydrates, and carbohydrates can be called polysaccharides because they're many saccharides stuck together. Lipids are called triglycerides because they're, and we'll go over that structure in a minute, there's three glycerols stuck together. Polypeptides are proteins because there's many peptides stuck together. And then nucleic acids that we're going to talk about a little later. And you guys actually are very familiar with nucleic acids because that's what DNA is and that's what RNA is. That's the NA in DNA and RNA is nucleic acid. Okay, so those four things are like the fundamentals of all living things. Section D right here that talks about condensation is the reverse of hydration. We're not going to get into that right now. A little later, we'll get into how you take the individual structures and link them together, but we're not going to focus on that just yet. Okay, so scroll down to where it says Roman numeral 2 and it's carbohydrates. I'm going to give it like 30 seconds just in case. And if I start talking and you're not there yet, let me know just so that I have a sense of where everybody is and I'm not kind of just running my mouth. Okay? All right, so carbohydrates. We're going to talk about carbohydrates, lipids, and proteins. And then you guys, I'm going to give you the graphic organizer that I want you to put your notes in. And that will be kind of how you go over the important stuff. So carbohydrates are made up of sugars, and the name for the chemical name for sugar is saccharides. So monosaccharides means one simple sugar. So the picture here shows you some of the basic sugars. So I know you've heard this term before, glucose. So glucose, especially for human beings, like that is what we survive off of. Our body makes energy from glucose. So all of the foods that we have, the majority of their role is to break down into glucose to feed our cells, to give our cells energy. The other stuff in foods, there are some individual minerals, individual elements that your cells need to do specific jobs, but the majority of why we eat is to get our body to get glucose. Galactose is another sugar, and the only difference between glucose and galactose, if you look on the left side, the C that's on the left, in glucose, there's an H on the top and an O on the bottom. In galactose, there's an OH on the top and an H on the bottom. They just flipped. So that's the only difference in the structure between glucose and galactose, is the OH and the H are flipped. Okay. Fructose now is different. It's got a pentagon shape rather than a hexagon shape. It's got like a bigger difference in its structure than glucose and galactose. And then when you talk about sucrose, that white, the sugar that we put in our food, whether it's cane sugar or beet sugar or white sugar, that's a combination of glucose and fructose stuck together. And that's where like what we consider sugar is called sucrose, and it's glucose and fructose stuck together. Okay.
Question.
Answer.
How come the glucose and galactose, you see like the C on the right and in galactose, it doesn't have any of the numbers that are either above or below the C's?
I don't know why they didn't choose to number it, because when you refer to big carbon chains like that, you will talk about it in terms of the number of the carbon. So you'll say things like the carbon 1 has this attached to it and carbon 4 has this attached to it. So that's why it's numbered, so that if you're talking about the glucose molecule and you say a carbon, since there's so many carbons, numbering it tells you which one you're talking about. So maybe this was pulled from somewhere that used a picture that needed to number the glucose. But there isn't a reason for our purposes that glucose and galactose, one is numbered and one isn't. That's not important for our purposes. So glucose and fructose have different shapes, but they have the exact same formula. If you were to count the carbons on glucose and fructose, the hydrogens, the oxygens, you have the same number. So if you're looking underneath our picture of our three sugars there, there's a little green photo that has the best known sugars have six carbons under that. It gives you the formula. So C6H12O6. So glucose and fructose both have six carbons, 12 hydrogens, six oxygens, but they have a different structure, and their different structure makes them operate a little differently. So glucose you find in animals, in their blood, right? Because as I said, that's what we need. Our animal cells run by breaking down glucose into energy. And we'll talk a little later about that reaction that turns glucose into energy for your cells. Not later today, like later in the unit. So glucose you find in the blood of animals, because that's how we feed our cells. Fructose you find in fruits. So plants store their energy in the form of fructose. So when you talk about like high fructose corn syrup, that's because it's coming from corn that's a plant. Plants store their sugar as fructose, and then it gets put through chemical processes to make it super sweet and concentrated. But it's fructose because it's in a plant. So fructose is commonly found in sweet plants, otherwise known as fruits. All right, so how the molecules interact have something to do with the shape, and we'll get into that a little more specifically later. Just know that glucose you find in animals, and fructose you find in fruits. La, 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 la. If you scroll down to number 3, it talks about disaccharides, or sugars that have two pieces stuck together. So I talked to you already about sucrose. So sucrose is glucose and fructose stuck together. Somebody have a question? Okay. So it's glucose and fructose stuck together, and that's basically when we think about sugar, that's what we're talking about. Lactose. Anybody lactose intolerant? Yes, no, maybe. Okay, well, I'm lactose intolerant to a degree. Like, I can eat processed cow milk products, but I cannot drink milk. Like, if I drank a glass of milk, I would be sick as a dog laid out on the floor. My body can process ice cream, cheese, but it can't digest cow's milk. So when people are lactose intolerant, what that means is the sugar that's found in milk, your body can't digest it. So lactose is when you put galactose and glucose together, it makes the sugar called lactose. So all these people who get stomach aches and gas and get sick drinking milk, it's because they can't digest the sugar that's in the milk. So that particular sugar is functional for cows. So cow babies can digest it and cows can digest it, but we can't. Our bodies can't. Aren't made to process that particular type of sugar. So that's why it messes with the stomachs of quite a few humans. So you'll find milk products like lactate that don't have that sugar in it so that people can digest it. All right, maltose is another disaccharide, and it's basically just two glucose molecules together, and you actually find that in the human digestive tract. So when we're digesting starches, and we're, breaking it down in our stomachs and our intestines, the loose glucose molecules we stick together to make maltose. Okay? So that's basic, and for some reason my mouse pad stopped working. Okay. So in terms of sweetness, that's just extra information. You don't need to know the intensity of sweetness, but listed there, fructose is at the top. It's the sweetest of the sugars, which is why like chemical companies process and concentrate the fructose because it's already the sweetest, so it gives them the most bang for their buck. So that way they can use less material, which saves them money, but make it sweeter. All right. So if you're wondering like why do they put all this high fructose corn syrup in it, it's the cheapest way to make it the most. All right. Any questions before I continue? All right, so polysaccharides, that is a bunch of sugar stuck together. So if you have a whole bunch of glucoses together, that is starch. All right, so when you talk about starch, that is a whole bunch of those glucose sugars stuck together. Glycogen is the same thing, except rather than having just one long chain stuck together, there's some stuck off the side. All right. And it's how our livers store carbohydrates. So they store them in the form of glycogen. And we're going to talk about that later. Because on a personal note, I often or every once in a while, I'll do water fasts where for a few days I only drink water. And I do it for a minimum of 2 days. And we're going to get into how your body processes glycogen and cellulose. And you will see why I do it for at least 2 days, because there's certain processes that happen in your body that if you don't wait a long enough time, your body can't break things down the way that it's meant to. So I'm saying that to you out loud to remind me later in the unit to explain to you like why we do that. Because I know sometimes you hear about different healthy ways of doing things, and I want you to know before this class is done the science behind it. So like in your digestive system when you fast. So why people tell you should do
User, your channel is recording.
water and juice fasts. You hear about it, but I want you to understand the science behind it. So when you're making decisions about what you want to do for your health, you know, okay, this is just something that sounded good, and this is the actual science behind how my body works, and this is something that I might want to do or not do, right? I don't want to just give you a bunch of facts. I want you to have information you can use in your life. Okay. So cellulose is another chain of glucose, and they make what you call microfibrils, which isn't important to you guys, but just know that the cell walls of plants are made of cellulose, and we can't break that down. So when there are certain foods that if we chew and swallow them, our body can't break them down. They will come out the same way they came in, and cellulose is one of those. Our bodies can't process cellulose. Cows can, which is why cows eat grass. if we ate grass, gross as it may sound, it's going to come out as grass. We can't process it. Like, we can't break it down for the most part. Yes, we are. We have scrolled down to Roman numeral 2 for carbohydrates, and I just got to the bottom of carbohydrates, and I'm about to go over lipids.
Wait. Okay. Does each organ have its own store of carbohydrates?
No, not all organs store carbohydrates. And I have a huge problem at this moment because the mouse froze. I got a nice little red light on the touchpad. So I can scroll up and down the notes, but I can't switch to the other page to give you guys the link to the graphic organizer. Okay, so what I was going to do was stop, give you the graphic organizer, and give you a chance to put in some stuff on the carbohydrates, because I absolutely hate talking for long periods of time.
Entering your channel, timed out.
But I can't get to it, so I have to. So I will, forgive me for talking so much. It's not the way that I like to teach, but the computer won't let me get back to the notes template to give it to you. So I'm just going to finish going through talking about lipids and proteins, and then you'll have to go back and do the notes. So forgive me for the one time that you guys will have to listen to me talk so much. All right, so lipids. Lipids are fats, okay? Fats and oils. So these are things that you guys already know are insoluble in water. You cannot dissolve fats in water, which is why when you make salad dressing and you let it sit, it will separate into two layers. The oil will not dissolve into the vinegar and water. It will separate because they can't mix, because fats don't have polar groups. So remember, we talked about things that are polar or hydrophilic. You can dissolve in water. Are attracted to water. Things that are nonpolar can't dissolve in water. All right. So what you need to know is fatty acids are long chains of hydrocarbons that have carboxyl groups at the end. If you look at the picture, the black picture that says fatty acid with 16 carbon atoms, at the end where you see those two red oxygens and the H, that's the carboxyl group. So carboxyl is COOH, so that little group at the end. So fatty acids are long chains of carbon and hydrogen with those at the end. Okay, so if you look at B, it tells you most fatty acids have cells that have 16 to 18 carbon atoms. Okay, so you guys have heard, you talked about it in the video, and you hear it all the time when you're talking about foods and nutrition and on commercials, saturated fats and unsaturated fats. So on a chemical level, saturated fats are carbon chains that don't have any double bonds. So it's just one single bond between all the carbons. Okay, and then, so like if one carbon on each side has another carbon connected to it, since carbon can bond to four things, that means it's got space for two hydrogens. Okay, so because there's no double bonds, the carbons are either attached by one bond to carbons, or they're attached by one bond to hydrogens. Unsaturated fatty acids, some of them have double bonds in them. So that would be, like in the example, if you look, 1, 2, 3, 4, between the fourth and fifth carbon in that parentheses, you see two lines, that means it's a double bond. So that means that those two carbons are sharing two sets of electrons instead of one. So an unsaturated fatty acid, it's got double bonds in it, which means it doesn't have as many hydrogens. And that's why it's unsaturated. It's not saturated with hydrogens. So it's not some crazy chemistry. Literally, unsaturated fats have not as many hydrogens. Saturated fats have a whole bunch of hydrogens that they can hold. Okay. Saturated fats you find often in animal products. Unsaturated fats you find often in plant products. So when you talk about eating more unsaturated fats, you're eating more products made from plants. Because if you eat too much animal products, because you already process and store fats in that same way, you end up with too much saturated fat in your system, and then it ends up collecting in your blood vessels, and you don't want that. So that's what they talk about saturated and unsaturated fats. And we'll talk a little more when we get further into the types of foods we eat, like what types of foods your body can digest and which ones you can't, and how much. So fats are basically three, what we call triglycerides. So it's this molecule called glycerol stuck to three fatty acids. Okay. So you've got long chains of carbons with this glycerol at the end. So that triglyceride, which is three fatty acids and a glycerol, that's what fats are made out of. They're all made of triglycerides. Okay. So fats are made of triglycerides that have saturated fatty acids in them. So butter, the fat on animals, so like the fat in your steak or your chicken, that's a fat made of saturated fatty acids. And oils are made of unsaturated fatty acids. So it's the same structure. You have three fatty acids and a glycerol for fats or animal products. They're saturated fatty acids. For oils or plant products, they're unsaturated. Okay, so when we say fat, we're referring to something from an animal. When we say oil, we're referring to something from a plant. All right, so the purpose of fats or the purpose of lipids is just to save energy or to store energy. So if your body needs to hold on to energy or needs to hold on to these carbon molecules, they store them as fats. Okay. Waxes, we're not going to get into waxes, but they're also nonpolar and they're also in that same family. And there are waxes in living organisms. So plants have waxes that protect them from losing water. Animals have compounds called waxes that help you to maintain the structure and flexibility of your skin. And if you had fur, if you were an animal with fur, your fur. All right, we're not going to look specifically at phospholipids at this moment, but they actually have a polar group that makes you able to dissolve them in water. So you end up, like in animals, the phospholipids are usually in the outside of cells. And as you can see, if you scroll down under number three, there's a little picture that's blue on the outside, and then it's got little purple circles with squiggly lines coming from it. The purple side is the side that attracts to water. The little squiggly lines are nonpolar, hydrophobic, don't like water. So they line up like that so that the little purple part is on the outside facing the world of our body that is wet and watery. And the other purple part is on the inside facing the cytoplasm of our cell that's also watery. And then it becomes this area that things can go back and forth in and out of cells. Okay. So that's the only thing that you need to know about phospholipids is that they go around the outside of cells. All right. If you keep scrolling down, E talks about steroids having carbon rings. And we're not going to get too deep into steroids yet. But when you hear steroids, you think about like the things that athletes can take to, you know, alter their body. That is one type of steroid. Steroid is actually a chemical group. Alcohols are a chemical group. So there's different types of steroids. Cholesterol is the beginning part of most steroids. So that's steroids that have different functions in your body. So your sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, those are all steroids. And those are all started with cholesterol molecules. And we'll get into that a little later, okay? Somebody got something to say? All right. Okay, so one more grouping, and then we can, then you guys can take your notes, and as much as I've talked today, you'll probably be done. I apologize. Like I said before, I hate spending the whole class talking. Okay, so amino acids. So number four in the Roman numerals, proteins. So proteins are made up of amino acids. So the individual amino acids that our cells make, they are grouped together to make proteins. And proteins, as we will talk about later, like the life of the cell, like one of the main purposes of the cells in your body is to form proteins, okay? So proteins are made of amino acids. Amino acids are their monomers. Under number one, that structure right there gives you kind of the basic structure of an amino acid. It's got that carbon with the carboxyl group at the top, the COOH, and then where it has that NH2, we call those amines, like ammonia and amino acid. That's the amino of the amino acid is that group with the N on it, okay? So underneath that, it talks about a few types of proteins, and we can run through that, but we're going to get into that later when we get into really specific aspects of the body. So there's proteins that are for structural purposes. So that's keratin, which is in your hair and nails, collagen, which is also in your hair and nails, and then in other body fibers. You got proteins like myosin and actin that are in your muscles. Proteins make enzymes, and enzymes are basically things that make chemical reactions happen, and we'll talk about that a little more later. Insulin is a protein. It's the hormone that regulates how much sugar is in your blood, right? So that's why diabetics end up with low insulin, because they've eaten so much sugar, they've used up their insulin supply to regulate their sugar content. Like, there's too much sugar, so your body produces insulin to kind of pull it out of the blood system, and then your body can't make insulin anymore because it's overworked. So that's kind of like the basics of diabetes. Hemoglobin is a protein that just basically helps to get your oxygen traveling through your blood. All right. When they talk about proteins being polypeptides, when you connect two amino acids, they call that bond a peptide bond. So that's why they call proteins polypeptides, because there's a bunch of bonds connecting amino acids together. So I'm not going to get into the details of amino acids at this point, because I've done a lot of talking today already. But I want you to know the basics, that proteins are made from amino acids, where it says under B, number one, that all amino acids contain carboxyl groups and amino groups. That's important. And then the whole process of making a peptide bond, we'll get into that later. Okay, we'll get into the details later. Going down to C and D, you don't need to know that right now. Denaturing is when you make a protein lose its shape. And going through the structures of proteins, we're not going to get into that right now either. And actually, I'm going to pause before we get into number five, nucleic acids, because you talked about carbohydrates, lipids, and proteins in the video and did the questions on it last time. So I want us to kind of process that information before we get into nucleic acids. So I'm going to see what I can do about the fact that my mouse won't work. What I hope is that I don't have to shut it down to get it to work. So actually, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to connect this to a different computer. Give me a moment, because I'm about to use a different computer to give you guys the graphic organizer, so that I don't have to shut this one down to make magic happen. All right. So while I'm doing this, does anybody have any questions or concerns? Anybody fall asleep with all that talking that I did? I know I was ready to fall asleep. As a student, I can't stand to listen to a teacher talk for more than about 15 or 20 minutes. So as a teacher, I try not to talk that long, which is why today is the longest you ever heard me talk. I don't believe in it. All right. Give me a second. I've got the other computer on, so now I just have to open up the internet so that I can give you guys the link. This computer is old as dirt. It doesn't even allow me to open up a new tab. Only Windows, no tabs. Okay, so what I'm gonna do, because it's not letting me type on my computer, is I'm gonna post. I'm gonna put the on the why I can't speak English. I'm gonna put the graphic organizer on the wiki space. And then you can go to that link. So just give me a second and I'll tell you when it's there, since I can't actually get to put anything in the text chat for TeamSpeak. Now, you probably guys have other teachers that talk a lot all the time. And for me, it's just uncomfortable. Let's see. No. Worksheets. Yeah, worksheets will work. Oh, no, that's not what I wanted. Okay, I apologize. This other computer that I'm working on is a little on the slow side, so it's not allowing me to do what I normally do on my computer.
Hey, wake up.
You know, it is disturbing how silent you guys are, but it's totally okay.
We're just waiting.
Oh, no, I know, which is why I said it's okay. But, like, if you're me, you just hear all of this dead silence. It's weird. Just give me a second. The computer's slow, so it's taking a second to warm. Wow, seriously, dude? Okay. All right, y'all. We might have to, you might have to bear with me logging out and logging back in, because it's not even allowing me. The computer is so old, it's not even allowing me to edit. Hold on, let me see if I can. If you lose me for a second, just hang in there and I will be logging back in. I'm going to try something else.
User disconnected from your channel. User entered your channel. User in your channel started recording.
All right, can you guys hear me? Okay, cool. I didn't know if I needed to reset my sound options since I logged back in and out. Okay.
Yes, you can hear me.
Now this should happen much faster since I'm back on my computer. That was awful. It should like never be that slow. I'm so spoiled with using like modern computers. Not something that takes that long. It's painful. You know what? The chart is being stupid, so I'm just going to edit it. Right, so as soon as I'm able to add it to the wiki. So for each one, you'll have the biological macromolecule, so carbohydrates, lipids, proteins, nucleic acid, you don't need to do yes to do yet, excuse me. So for each one, you'll tell me what its function is, what's the monomer that it's made out of, and examples of it. And then at the end, the functional group. And I put the functional group for carbohydrates because it's not quite as obvious. And then the other ones, I hear the ding of somebody asking me a question. Just give me a moment. Pages and files. Almost there. You know, I think it does it chronologically. Okay, so I just gave you the link to the Wikispace page. So what I need is for you to not type directly into this page because with Tuesday's assignment, some people opened it and started editing this document. I want you to use it to create your own page. And most of you guys know how to do that. If for some reason you don't know how to do that, to make your own page, let us know and then we can tell you how to do it rather than you typing on this one and then everybody having your work. Okay. This is now. So because that little snafu with the computer freezing happening, and we have like 9 minutes left in class, if for some reason we're not able to finish, I mean, you should, because it's all directly from that notes page that you were just looking at. If you don't finish it in the 9 minutes, then I'll have you, you know, turn it in to me by the end of the day today, or maybe by tomorrow. But no, this is for you to do right now, to process what we did right now. So look at that note page and write the function, the monomer, the unit that it was made out of, examples, and then the functional group. And it, and like, imagine that you and I are sitting in the same classroom and you were doing in this and you had questions, please ask me, okay? So if you're not sure where to find the function, or you think you know what the monomer is and you're not sure, or that functional group, the last part of the table, like, rather than raising your hand, just step in and say, I have a question, or type the question that you have.
So we have to wait turns to type in our notes.
Okay, so when I give you something and you guys do it on your own Wikispace page, what do you usually do? That was actually a question. What do you guys usually do?
I was asking, what did you say? I didn't hear it.
I was asking, when I give you guys something like this on the Wikispace page, what do you normally do when you create your own page?
I just copy and paste it to make my own page.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, that is what I'm saying. So, yes, it should be a relatively quick process to just copy and then move on so that somebody else can. And if, for example, you're waiting 30 seconds for someone to copy and paste, look back at the notes so that you can start to get the information on, like, the function of them or what the monomers are. And if you find what I'm asking you to do doesn't make sense or is redundant or doesn't work, let me know so that I can make adjustments for the next time.
Okay.
What would we be waiting for?
Because if someone clicks edit and copies the table to paste it, only one person can edit at a time. So if two people try to click edit at the same time, it doesn't work. So that's what they're saying in terms of waiting and alternating.
I keep forgetting that my earphones don't have a mic. I'm able to copy and paste without pressing edit.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Do you want it to just be like short?
Kashif, you got it? All right, cool.
Did you hear me?
I did. Apparently, you didn't hear my answer. Yes.
No.
Just the basics.
What?
Just the basics. Simple.
I just realized I don't really understand the role of proteins.
Like what their function is?
I know like muscle mass and all that, but what else? I don't understand.
Okay, let me direct you to where it's in the notes. Hold on. Okay, so if you scroll down to where it talks about proteins in the notes, underneath, where it talks about the structure, it starts numbering. So it says like one amino acids or monomers that condense to form proteins. And then after that, it talks about what proteins are used for. So it gives, because proteins do a lot of different things. So it gives a few examples, like being like for structural purposes, making up hair and nails, making up the bulk of your muscles, acting as enzymes. Those are all functions of proteins. So like for part A under proteins, it's numbers 2 through 7. And you don't need to literally cut and paste those entire sentences, just like what the basic function is. So structure, muscle, enzymes, like that. Hormones.
I know you said we didn't go into the nucleic acids on the notes, but for we can add the little that we know from the video, right?
Yes, you can. And then, like, after we go over it, you can edit and add. All right, y'all. It's 12:15. So are there any questions, concerns, or comments about what you're doing or today's class?
When did you want us to turn it in by?
Okay. So since it's lunchtime, and then after lunch, I believe you guys have class, just give it to me by tonight. I usually go to sleep around 10, so by 9 o'clock tonight. I don't want you trying to, like, rush in the middle of lunch to get it done, to have it sent to me before school gets out.
Totally gonna do that.
Okay, so if there's nothing else, let's do appreciations. If you're still there, Essence, do yours first so that you can run.
Okay, I appreciate, I guess I appreciate having these notes to look at. I guess I could just study them and take notes on them and stuff.
Sounds good. You can go ahead and go.
Wake up.
Ashubola.
Okay, I appreciate earphones because my family's loud. And I appreciate learning about these things because it actually spurs me on to look into some of the things that I'm buying for pertaining to herbs, herbal health. And so I'm joining herbs with this class, which helps me to really understand how the herbs help my body and my family's health. So that's pretty awesome.
Dope. All right, I see you, Kashif. You appreciate learning more about carbohydrates and the different parts of how they function and work. Ja, you appreciate learning how to spell monosaccharides, right, with the double C. And Zaye?
I appreciate the notes that this page of notes that you gave us because they have like visual representations of the like the structures and stuff.
And I'm actually going to piggyback on that. That's what I appreciate, being able to work in this format and give you things like notes with the, digital style pictures on them, and being able to have you work from video, in some formats, if the school can't afford the technology, it's hard to, project video with sound and to give you that and not just be me standing at a whiteboard trying to draw to the best of my ability. So I appreciate being able to give you guys things in this way. All right, so just make sure that before 9 o'clock I get this, because other after that I'll probably be asleep. And enjoy your weekend. And Tuesday we'll get into nucleic acids, DNA, and RNA. Learn a little more about that and add to our organizer. All right. See you next
User
week.
in your channel timed out.
All right. Peace.
User disconnected from your channel.